your love and shower honor, your grace, your forgiveness, your second chance, your resurrection, for the ways in which you bless our lives. We give you thanks, we give you praise. This morning, may our hearts break for the things that break your hearts. May our hearts break for the things that are interfering with our relationship with you. We confess those things. We want to be rid of those things so that we can have a clean and open relationship with you, experience your whole life filling us up. So Lord, hear our confession. Take a moment right now. If there's something you need to clear up with God, do it right now. Say, God, I'm doing this as wrong. I renounce it. And God, we give you thanks that you cleanse our lives. So we can stand before you even right now in prayer. We give you thanks that we come and worship you freely. We give you thanks for the way you provide for us, the jobs that we have, the families that we enjoy, the food we eat, the clothes we wear, the homes we get to live in, cars to go back and forth in. So the riches are amazing.
Everybody, good to be back here again. You are not through with me yet, but it's coming up close. We now have some dates we can share with you. The 17th of September will be my last Sunday here. The 24th of September, Steve will be preaching his first mention. Your new pastor will be preaching his will be here and preaching full time. So look forward to that. So yes, you can be sad that I'm leaving, because I would be hurt if you weren't. But be really, really excited about Steve coming. I mean, he is going to bless your socks off, and hopefully you're going to do the same for him. They are planning to move themselves. Right now they are planning to rent a truck and move themselves out here. So when I talked to him on the phone this week, he said, so do you think you know, we can get some volunteers from the church to help us unpack and move in? And I said, good luck with this crowd. So I said, I think we can probably arrange that. So we do not have yet a date for that. They're still kind of working out their itinerary, their schedule. They hope to, his parents are in Nebraska, her parents in Colorado, so they figured as they drove out here, they would stop, you know, and see their parents along the way. So as soon as we have that, you know, their arrival date nailed down, we'll let you know so that we can show up en masse to help them unload the truck and get settled down. We have families right now, some people in the church right now, helping them identify and locate a house to rent. So that is something you can be praying about, that in the next couple weeks they can find the right house to rent, and then just pray for their transition and their safety traveling across the country. But look forward to that. That's coming up. Quick question, just to see how much you pay attention. What is Peter Gotthold's favorite movie franchise? Star Wars, right? You can't miss it. You can't miss it. It is obvious. It's Star Wars. Why? Because he's excited about it. He really gets excited about Star Wars more than any person I personally know. I'm sure there's probably more fanatical people out there, one or two, beyond Peter, but you get excited. When you see a great movie, right, do you keep it a secret? No. No, why not? Because you get excited about it. You want to tell other people. When you go to a great new restaurant, do you keep it a secret? Sometimes. I don't want anybody else to go there. I want it to be empty just for me. Selfish. No, we tell people about it. When your babies were born, did you keep it a secret? No, of course not. You get excited about it. When your friends' babies are born, do they keep it a secret? No, you decide to get off Facebook for a couple weeks because you're tired of seeing every hour, you know, this is our baby at 9 o'clock, this is our baby at 10. Right? If we're that way about movies and food, why wouldn't we be that way about the most amazing story of all? That God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not die but have eternal life. News doesn't get any better than that. There is no better news than that. And when we are fired up about something, we can hardly contain it. We've got to tell someone or we're just going to burst. So what we're going to see this morning is that when we share the story of Jesus, when we tell the good news, the power of God just gets released and it just reverberates. It fires up our lives and we become fire starters that end up firing up other people's lives. So we have been studying the book of Acts. So, and we have seen already how God has been firing up people's lives through their prayer and the Holy Spirit coming, through their gathering together and their sharing and being generous, as Phil talked about last week. You know, you used to have pastors all named John. Now it's pastors all named Phil. I like that. But that's really good. Today, we are going to move to the next chapter, Acts chapter 3. And what we're going to discover as we do that, we're going to hear once again the story of Jesus getting told. In fact, as we study the book of Acts, the story of Jesus continues to get told over and over and over again. It gets repeated. So here's this example, Acts chapter 3. It's in your notes. I think it'll be on the slides. I won't swear by it. Verse 6. To kind of give you context, Peter and John, the apostles, are on their way to the temple to pray. And as they start to enter the temple, there's a cripple there begging. That cripple has been there for years and years, hoping that, you know, people going to the temple might just be kinder and, you know, more generous and be willing to help them. So this cripple has been sitting outside the temple for years. Just basically almost became, you know, part of the stonework. So you barely recognize it because he's just always there. So Peter and John are walking into the temple, and there's the cripple and saying, you know, can you help me? And here, we'll pick it up. Peter said, silver or gold I don't have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong, and he jumped to his feet, and he began to walk. And then he followed them. He went into the temple courts, and he's walking and jumping and praising God. Wouldn't you be, right? When something just incredible happens to you, you get excited, you get fired up, you've got to say something. So here's this cripple who's been healed, and all of a sudden he's jumping and walking around. It draws a crowd, not surprisingly. And Peter sees the crowd, and he says to them, men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. Peter's not really giving them the good news at this point. It's really, really awful news. This miracle you see, it came at the name of Jesus Christ. It is God's affirming that Jesus was his servant. And what did you do to Jesus? Oh yeah, you disowned him, you handed him over to Pilate, you had him killed. Uh-oh. This is awful news. We are done for. And then Peter flips the switch. And he says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. From doing as awful a thing as possible, we had the Messiah killed, to suddenly having all those sins wiped out is unbelievable. But there's more to it. That your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, that he may send the Christ that you had killed, that he might send the Christ who has been appointed for you. Even Jesus. That's good news. In this short speech, Peter has once again told the story of Jesus. It's a story that gets repeated over and over again in the book of Acts. It's a story that changes the world. And it can be summarized like this. Jesus is God. He is the holy and righteous one. He is the author of life. We need forgiveness. We have ignored Jesus. We have disowned Jesus. We have sinned against Jesus. Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty and forgive our sins. Jesus rose again, proving that he's God, proving that he has the power to forgive our sins and to offer us new life. And we can receive this forgiveness and new life if we will believe that Jesus is God who died for our sins and rose again, and repent, turn away from our old way of life, and commit ourselves to following a Jesus way of life. And when you do that, your sins will be wiped out. Times of refreshing will replace it and come in. And Jesus will be sent to live in your life through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the power that totally turns our life upside down and changes us. It's a power that fires us up. It's a power that makes us fire starters. It's a power we can experience. And if you haven't, I'm going to give you that chance at the end of the message. That's the story of Jesus. It's a really easy, simple story. Jesus is God. We need forgiveness. Jesus died on the cross and rose again to forgive our sins and give us new life. And we can receive it by believing in Jesus and repenting, turning away, and choosing to follow Him. It's a simple story. Anyone can remember it. We can all remember that. In fact, it's so simple, it's hard to believe that there's any power behind it. The power is not in the words. The power is not in the way you deliver it. The power is not in how persuasive you are. The power is God's power. It comes from God, and that power gets released when we open our mouth and just share the story of Jesus. As simple as it is, when we share it, God's power gets released. I want you to kind of see what happened as a result of Peter sharing the story right there and then. In Acts chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "The many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. That's just the men. Add the women to it, it's probably double that. So, think about this. Just days before, we have a small group of believers meeting in a house praying. 120. That's the church. The Holy Spirit comes. They start sharing the story of Jesus. And that one day, suddenly there's 3,000 people. From 120 to 3,000. And now, next chapter, already 5,000. The power of God gets released when we dare to share the story of Jesus Christ. However, when we share the story of Jesus Christ and God's power gets released, that doesn't mean it always goes well and always goes easy. In fact, when you read this story in Acts chapter 3 and 4, I urge you to go home and do it. What you will discover is there were people, the religious leaders, who did not like Peter and John talking about Jesus, the person they thought they had successfully gotten rid of just a couple, a month before. And they didn't like it. They especially didn't like it that it was happening in the temple, so they had Peter and John arrested and put in prison. That's not so pleasant. Sometimes there's resistance to sharing the message. So why tell this story knowing that you are risking getting arrested and having who knows what happen to you? That's because you're fired up. It's because you are so excited. They saw Jesus resurrected. They saw and knew they are witnesses to Jesus being resurrected. They know it's all true. They know it's all real. So, prison is a small thing. As horrible as prison can be, it's a small thing compared to what they know and the truth and the life it gives and the eternal life and the salvation and the hope, all those things. We'll go to prison for that. They were fired up. They knew it was true. And Jesus had given them a message to go and share that story. And so that's what they did. They had to take a stand. Even if it meant prison, they had to take a stand for what they knew and what they believed. It was too important to be shut up. And the reality is, when we dare to share the story of Jesus with others, there are going to be people who, right? Talk to the hand. Go away from me. Don't want to hear it. Don't want to. Democrats would rather hear you talk about how great Donald Trump is than hear you talk about Jesus. Republicans would rather hear you talk about how great Hillary Clinton is than hear you talk about Jesus. There are people who do not want to hear. But here's the catch. If Christians do not talk about Jesus, we will not be respected. Because we expect people to talk about what's important to them. Even if we disagree with it, we expect them to talk about it. If people don't talk about things that are not that are important to them, we come to the natural conclusion that it really isn't that important to them. If they're not talking about it, that must not mean that much to them. So if Christians aren't telling about the story of Jesus, people will naturally conclude that Jesus just doesn't mean all that much to us. It's not that important. We won't be respected if we don't tell the story. So how do we do that? How do we tell the story? How do we take a stand? How do we share this good news in ways that people will actually listen to, in ways that people will respect? We earn their respect. How will we do it in a way that releases God's power? I'm glad I've asked. Let me give you a few tips. First, we do it by sharing our own personal story. In Acts chapter 4, verse 20, when Peter and John are pulled out of prison and they're sat in front of the religious leaders and are put on trial, and the religious leaders are basically threatening them to not tell the story of Jesus, because if you tell the story of Jesus anymore, bad things are going to happen to you. Here's how they responded in verse 20. We cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. We can't help it. We saw it. We heard it. We know it's true. We're fired up about it. We cannot contain it. We cannot help speaking about it. They told their own story of what they saw and what they heard. We do the same. We share our own stories of what we've experienced of Jesus in our own personal lives. Because people like to hear personal stories. We like to hear where people have come from. We like to hear what makes them who they are. Personal stories get listened to, and they get respected. And some people's stories about becoming a Christian are truly miraculous stories. There are stories about miracles happening to them, like what happened to the cripple in Acts chapter 3. Some people's stories are very emotional stories of how they found Jesus' love and life in the middle of crisis and tragedy in their own lives. Some people's stories are dramatic stories. The difference between who they used to be and who they are now are night and day different. And some people's stories are like mine. They aren't quite so dramatic. I've never been on drugs, never been an alcoholic, never been abusive, never have, experienced the bad underside of life. My story is kind of boring. Kind of the goody-goody story, if you will. But that's the good news. That's the good news, because the power of Jesus in my life, the results of following his ways, has resulted in a life that's been blessed, in a life that has been protected. Because I followed Jesus, I didn't fall into the holes that were out there. I didn't dig holes for myself to fall into. I did not suffer the consequences from bad choices I made. I don't have the scars from that. It's all thanks to the power of Jesus in my life. A power I received when my parents and my church told me about Jesus and I believed. And if you're someone who has fallen into the holes of life, who has suffered consequences from bad choices you've made, that has scars from that, I have good news. It's the same good news Peter told that crowd who all of a sudden realized, oh my gosh, we disowned and killed Jesus, who is God's son. It's the good news that Jesus is God, and that he loves you, and he died to forgive you, and he rose again to resurrect your life. No matter how deep the hole you're in is, he can resurrect your life. That's the good news. You can receive that life if you will turn to Jesus and believe in him and follow his ways. And at the end of the message, I'll give you that opportunity. So, when we share the story of Jesus, we start by sharing our own personal story. We don't need to have a whole Bible scholar's knowledge about Jesus and salvation and all the ins and outs of theology. We just share our own story. But as we share our own story, we do it with respect. That's tip number two. Well, actually, before I get to tip number two, I got something else I want to talk about. So what story do we share? In your bulletin there on the third page, and up here on this next slide, There's a series of questions I have. I urge you to go home and actually think through and answer these questions, because they'll help you begin to tell your story. What was life like for me before becoming a Christian? How did I hear about Jesus? How did I become a Christian? And now, what is life like since becoming a Christian? The answers to those questions become your story. As you put those answers together, that becomes the story you share. You talk about, this is the way I was. This is what was happening in my life. And then, this is how I heard about Jesus. This is, you know, someone came up to me, or, you know, I accidentally stumbled into a church thinking it was a bar, you know, whatever it might be. But you talk about, you know, how did you hear about Jesus? And then you tell, and how did you actually decide for Jesus? And this is where you get to tell the story of Jesus. I found out that Jesus is God, and that I needed forgiveness for my sins, and that Jesus died on the cross and rose again to forgive my sins and have a new life, and that if I would believe in that and turn and follow Jesus, I would receive this forgiveness and new life. And then you can tell, and this is what's happened to me since then. And as you tell what's happened to you since then, be genuine about it. All right, you don't have to make it all, you know, incredible and fancy, and life is all, you know, rainbows and unicorns and daisies. You be real. People will see through that. But hopefully you're experiencing a difference that you can talk about. So you share the story, because when you share your story, you make the story of Jesus become real to them. Because they can begin to see through your story how Jesus' story connects to their own lives. When you share your story, you're being a witness, and when you're being a witness, God's power gets released. But we do it with respect. 1 Peter 3:15 to 16, Peter says, "If someone asks you about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it, but do this in a gentle and respectful way." I was just reading a book, Experiencing God. It's a book that's been around for couple decades now. But, you know, he made this comment in there that if someone comes and asks you about Jesus, recognize God's hand in that, because the only reason anybody would ever ask you about Jesus is if God is working in their lives. Because without God working in their lives, they are totally blind to God. That is what the Bible teaches us. But if God is working in their lives, if someone asks you, you just, like, your radar goes up and go, boop, boop. God's working in their lives. Stop and take the time. Be ready to explain the reason for your hope, but do it in gentle and respectful ways. I had a dad was telling me a story about his kids, really, really cute story. He has a five-year-old son and a three-year-old daughter, and his five-year-old son had just prayed the prayer to accept Jesus into his heart like a few days before. And now they're driving, and he's driving the car, and they're in their car seats, you know, back behind him in the back seat. And he's hearing his son, the five-year-old son, telling his three-year-old sister all about Jesus and talking about how we have sin and how Jesus died for our sins. And if we believe in Jesus and pray and ask him to come into our lives, that we'll become Christians. And dad, you can imagine how dad's feeling, right? Dad is smiling. Dad is beaming. Dad is proud. My son was listening. That's in and of itself. You know, you get excited about that. My son was listening. He remembered what we said. He really understood what he prayed and why he prayed. And he was so excited. And then he heard his son say to his sister, you know, "Do you want to pray the prayer?" And his very independent-minded three-year-old sister said, "No." And then he said, "You must pray the prayer." "No. You have to pray the prayer." "No." And then it devolved back, you know, into your normal brother-sister kind of fighting, and the smile kind of got wiped out of the dad's face, right? When we share the story, we need to share the story with respect. It is not our job to force someone to believe in Jesus. In fact, you can't force someone to believe in Jesus, because salvation from Jesus comes through faith. And faith has to be a personal choice, a personal commitment. You can force someone to act like they believe, but faith comes from the heart. They have to personally choose that for themselves. We can't force it. Our job is just to tell the story as simple as we can, the best way we can. We don't have to worry about being all persuasive and saying it just the right way. We just share our story with authenticity, with passion and excitement and respect, and then we let the power of God go to work. And in some cases, it might happen right there in that moment that God speaks to them and they are ready to say, yes, I need Jesus in my life. And in some cases, it might take a very long time. And we keep praying and we let God's power work. It's not our job. Our job is to share the story and let God's power work. So we share our story, we do it with respect, and then we back it up by shining through good deeds. We let our actions back up our talk. Jesus said this in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. When you do good deeds, God's light shines and people notice it and give God credit. Last week, you heard about how all the believers came together and how they sold everything they had and had in the common, and they gave to anyone as they had need, how they were so generous and giving. And as a result, it says they enjoyed the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Added to their number daily those who were being saved. As a result of their good deeds, of their generosity, of their caring, their kindness, people noticed. And every day, people were coming to Christ. If the love of Jesus is real, then the love of Jesus will be experienced by the actions of those who have Jesus in their lives. Our good deeds create goodwill, which opens the door to sharing the good news. Good deeds leads to goodwill, which opens the door to the good news. That is why this summer we went out to the movie nights. You guys, thank you so much for doing this. Doing something as simple as that cold water and popcorn, because we were doing good deeds to continue to build goodwill with our neighborhood, with our community, with our neighbors, so that they'll be interested in the good news. We'll have those opportunities to share the good news. That's why we do Trunk or Treat every year. And every year it keeps getting bigger and bigger. And people associate these good deeds with Edgewater Covenant Church. And they say, well, those people actually care for us and care for the community. And maybe they actually do believe in this whole Jesus thing. Maybe I should pay attention. That's why we help with the Park District with the Easter egg hunt. That's why we do those things. Good deeds leads to goodwill, which gives us the opportunity to share the good news. But we don't only do that as a church family, we do that as individuals. We show love. We show good deeds. We do it with our families and our friends so that they can see Jesus through us. We do it through the ways in which we treat our spouse, the ways in which we treat our kids. Do we do it by the time we spend with them and the things we do with them, with our attitude, our expressions, and the things we say, and sometimes the things we do not say. Sometimes the most loving thing we can do is to bite our tongues. Because when we do these things, God's love shows through us. And it leads to goodwill, which leads to good news. We can do this at work too. We do it by showing respect and caring for the people we work with and the people we work for and the people who work for us. We don't just see them as cogs. We don't just value them for what they're able to get done. We value them as people. And we listen to their stories, and we care about what's going on in their lives. When you take time to listen to people, you are expressing a value. You are expressing love and care. We can do this in the workplace as well. Go the extra mile to help someone. And then, I've had this happen in my own life, then people start coming up to us and say, I understand you're a Christian, or I understand you go to church, and I don't get this Jesus person. I've had people come up to me when I worked non-Christian jobs, when I worked in a flower shop, when I worked for the California Department of Food and Agriculture, people would just come up to me and say, you know, why do Christians believe this? Or tell me what it means to believe in Jesus. I had wonderful conversations, but they started as a result of the love and care I showed them beforehand. So they knew I was someone they could trust. They knew I was someone who cared for them. Our actions back up our message. We shine through our good deeds. And then we need to shake off some misconceptions that actually hinder us from sharing the story of Jesus. One misconception is this: they won't change. They are too stubborn, they're too old, they're too set in their ways. They are stuck with who they are. They are not going to change. Anyone know someone like that, right? So they're not going to change. There's no way they're going to change. Well, as we read the book of Acts, we are going to be studying someone by the name of Saul. Saul was a guy who was violently opposed to Christians. Thought they were the worst thing that's ever happened to God and the Jewish faith. So he hunted them down, put them in prisons, and worse. This is who Saul was. But out of the blue, we're going to find out, he was struck by a bolt of literal light that blinded him. Jesus spoke to him, and he becomes a Christian. And within days, he is suddenly telling other people about Jesus, and he's doing it with passion and vigor. The Jesus he denied, now all of a sudden he's talking about, because he's fired up. He's suddenly fired up, and he can't be shut up. If this can happen to Saul, who later becomes Paul, it can happen to anyone. There's no one who cannot be reached. I've seen this in my own life. I've seen this with my own friends, people that I prayed for months, for years, and nothing's ever going to happen to them. And then suddenly, God gets a hold of them, and their whole life changes. They put their faith in Jesus Christ, and everything changes. And it wasn't because of me. It did. It never happened when I was with them. All those times I told them about Jesus, all those times of praying, but no, it was somewhere else, something else that did it. But here's what they all told me. I know we acted like, don't tell me, but what you said bugged us. What you said kind of stuck in the back of my mind and gnawed at me. Until finally that moment came that God broke through and they gave their life to Christ. So this misconception that there will never change is simply not true, not when the power of God's involved. Another misconception is that, you know, they'll reject us. They're not interested. If I try to tell them about Jesus, I will lose a friend. They'll reject me. Well, here's the reality. Most people will not reject you if you're telling your story. Telling your story with respect. You're not preaching at them. You're not condemning them. You're just telling your own personal story. You're not trying to twist their arm or manipulate them. This is who I am, and this is what happened to me and experienced. People won't reject you if you're just telling your own personal story, what you experienced. And you never know what it might be doing in the back of their mind while they're saying, it might be gnawing at the back of their mind. And you never know who else might be around who is on the sidelines hearing the story and listening in. And then there's the misconception that I just don't know enough. I'm not persuasive enough. I'm not good with words. I'm not good with telling a story. We all tell stories. We all go and talk about how great the restaurant was, how great the movie was, how great our baby is. We all do these things. It's not about being persuasive. The power's not in the words. The power is just in telling the story and God's power taking over. I've told you this. I've used this illustration before. I'm going to use it again just to kind of drive it home. But if I am drowning in a pool, I do not care whether or not you have had lifeguard training. If I am drowning in the pool, I don't want you up there saying, oh, look at that, isn't that too bad? I wish I had lifeguard training to help that person. If I'm drowning in the pool, I am desperate for anyone to reach out and pull me up. The same is true with the story of Jesus Christ. It's not about having all the training and all the right words and all this, you know, the crafty persuasion. It's not about any of that. You don't need to be a lifeguard to be a lifesaver. You don't need to be a pastor to share the story of Jesus. We have life to offer. We have good news to offer. We have a story to tell that will change people's lives. And when we reach out and tell, the power of God gets released. I want to show you a video right now that kind of illustrates a person telling their own story. And the power of just telling your own story. This video is by a guy named Brian Head Welch. All right, Head is his nickname. He was and is again the lead guitarist for the mega rock group Korn. And it comes from a website called IamSecond.com. It's a wonderful website to go. It's filled with video stories of people just telling their own stories about how they found Jesus Christ. I recommend it. But let's go ahead and watch the story, and if we can get the lights off.
My dream came true way more than I dreamt about. I got way more money. I played bigger shows. I mean, houses, cars. I tried drugs. I tried sex. I tried everything to try to get pleasure out of this life. And I thought that I could fill my life with all this stuff. Like, by having my dream come true, and it came true. But it didn't fulfill me. That's where drugs can creep in, and, you know, cocaine or whatever, methamphetamine's crept in, and
it seems like fun at the beginning. It's alive because it turns around on you. It starts to wear on your personality, starts to wear on your relationships, and everything is affected by it negatively. Everything. There was a few times where life seemed good. My daughter, Janaea, she came into the world, and I was like, it was just such a euphoric feeling. I thought my life could just feel like that forever, you know? It was like it was spiritual, just, I didn't know what was happening. I just felt so much love just fill my emotions. And I thought I was gonna be happy, but, I just couldn't. I couldn't stay sober. I didn't know how. What am I doing? I'm a junkie. My daughter's singing all day. I dream about sex, and I'm gonna die. My real estate broker Eric, he said, Brian, I don't mean to be weird with you. I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but I felt the scripture like jump out at me. I've never done this before, you know, so I don't really know how to do this, but I felt like this would mean something to you. It's Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Just, I pulled the scripture apart, and I was like, oh, I'm weary and burdened, and I need rest for my soul, and I didn't know if it was real, but you know, they invited me to church a couple weeks later, and I received Christ. I felt so much fatherly love from heaven, and it was like, I don't condemn you. I love you. I love you. It was just love, love, and instantly that love from God came into me. It was so powerful that the next day I threw away all my drugs, and I quit Korn. I was like, I'm quitting Korn and I'm going to raise my kid, because my kid, like, I got the love from God coming to me, and then it came out of me to my kid. It changed me. My heart was changed like that. And I was like, Janaea, Daddy's going to be home with you all the time. I'm quitting my career. And her face lit up and she's like, for me? You know, she felt so special. And God used her to save me, to save her life later on.
The power of telling your story. And did you hear what he said about the real estate agent? The real estate agent had to be about as exact opposite as him. You saw what he looked like, right? Real estate agent, khakis, you know, polo shirt. The exact opposite of him, the antithesis of Brian Risk Welch, but he takes a risk. He dares to share a verse. That's all he did. He shared a verse. He invites a rock and roller who looked like that to come to church with him. And then left it at that. And it turns out that simple action turned him into a lifesaver. We can be lifesavers. When we tell our story about Jesus, God's power gets released. When we take the risk, God's power gets released. As a result, we get fired up. We become fire starters that fire up other people's life. Our role is to tell the story of what we witnessed and tell it because we're fired up about it, and then we leave the rest in God's hands. We leave the person in God's hands. We let God's power take over because there is power in the good news. So as I finish this, let me ask a question. We've talked about how simple the story is. Jesus is God. We need to be forgiven. Jesus died on the cross and rose again to forgive our sins and give us new life, and we can receive it when we believe and repent. I've equipped you to tell the story. My question is, who are you going to tell the story to? What name jumps into your mind right now? That person at home, that person next door, that person at work, at the gym, wherever. Who are you going to tell the story to? And will you let God's power work through you? For someone here today, today might be the day your story starts. And if you're ready to say, I believe these things, I'm ready to have this life Jesus can give to me, the love and forgiveness he has for me, you do it simply by praying. Expressing your belief and your commitment and asking him to come into your life. So if you're ready to do that, we're going to bow our heads. And I'm going to just say a prayer that you can repeat just silently after me to ask Jesus into your own life and heart, to start your own story with him. Pray something like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner who needs your forgiveness. I believe that you are God, that you died on the cross to pay the price for my sins, that you rose again to show that you have the power to offer new life. So I confess my wrongs and my sins to you. I renounce them. And I turn to you. And I want to commit all of my life, for the rest of my life, to following you. I ask you right now, Lord, to come in. Take charge. Fill me with your presence. And I thank you that at this very moment, all those things just happened. I thank you that at this very moment, my sins have been wiped out. That you have come to be with me and live in me. That times of refreshing may come. And I pray that you will give me the strength to keep this commitment. I pray that you will surround me with people who will help me keep this commitment. And if you're someone this morning who just prayed that prayer for the very first time, committed your life to Jesus Christ for the first time, everybody else is still praying. You're going to pray about the person you need to share the story with. But if you prayed and asked Jesus into your heart this morning, I'd like you to raise your hand. No one else is looking. Heads are bowed. I don't want to embarrass you. Thank you. This is very exciting. And God, I thank you for the work you're doing this morning. I thank you for the work you're doing in people's hearts. I thank you for the commitment that's being made. I thank you that right now in heaven, it's a party. That all the angels are jumping up and down. Because another soul has come back to you. God, help this person grow in this commitment. Work in their lives and bring your blessings, your healings, and your resurrection. And Lord, for all of us, I ask you to have someone come up to each one of us this week and say, tell me about Jesus. And when that happens, I ask that you will give us the words to say and that we will risk telling our own story so that we can see your power at work and be a fire starter. Pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God's moving. God is speaking. God wants to speak through you this week. Amen. Find out who you're going to share your story with and dare to share it and experience the power of God start to work. Blessings on you. Thank you for being here this morning.